Hallelujah. But tonight I want to just consider again and what we began just a few weeks ago, looking at the race of faith. And we were looking at a verse in Hebrews chapter 12, or two verses in Hebrews chapter 12. That's the first two verses. And now in these verses, and our studies that we've been doing, we've seen quite a little bit to do with running the race. We've seen that there is a race set before us. And the author of this letter to the Hebrew church, he was speaking about faith. In the previous chapter, he catalogues a whole host of men and women who by faith accomplished great things for God. And he says that these men and women obtained a good testimony through faith. And he says we've got these men and women as witnesses. He's talking about faith. He's talking about this race that we're running. Because that's what he goes on in verse 1. He says about running a race. And it's a race of faith. It's a faith race. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the life of faith. He's talking about the Christian life. And in it he says, if we're going to run our race and we're going to run it well, we've got to lay aside every weight. Everything that's going to hold us back and is going to be a burden to us, we've got to get rid of. We've got to get rid of the sin which entangles us and trips us up. Particularly the sin of unbelief. Because without faith it's impossible to please God. If we don't please God, we'll never run our race. We'll never be able to run effectively. It'd just be like running on the spot. We'll never get anywhere. We've got to know that we're pleasing God. And because that brings us on to Jesus. The Bible says here that we should be looking unto Jesus as we run. This was touched a little bit on Sunday. And as we look unto Jesus, we've got to keep our focus and our attention on him. Keeping free from those distractions. We looked at a number of distractions in the scriptures where people were distracted. How it hindered their race. Distractions will hinder us. If we're looking elsewhere, we won't be running straight. Jesus did teach, although he wasn't talking about this, but he said that anybody who puts his hand to the plough and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. If we put our hand to the plough and we get distracted and we're looking all around us, we're not fit to be doing the job of ploughing, because we just go all over the place. You know what it's like when you're driving a car, you're meant to be looking where you're going. If you're looking always at the sides, you're going to veer from, in the car and not take it straight. So we mustn't be distracted. Got to look unto Jesus, keep our focus and attention on him, lay aside every weight that holds us back and get rid of the sin which is there to trip us up, and we've got to run our race. But there's one thing in these verses which we haven't yet touched on, which we're going to look at tonight, and whether we finish, it doesn't matter if we don't, we'll pick it up again next week. But one thing that we not yet looked at, and the scripture says this, and we'll read it, is it's found in verse 1 of chapter 12. But it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Running with endurance. Well, perhaps not so much running, but we're going to look at endurance. What is endurance? Too often, endurance is associated with suffering. You'll hear people say, and they mean well, and as Christians, we've got to suffer or endure hardship. We've got to endure the pain. You know, we've got to put up with all these things. We've got to suffer so we stay humble. Well, that's not what it means. Endurance does not mean putting up with problems or pains or things which are going to try and hold us back. He's told us to lay aside these things that hold us back. He wants us to run free. And if we're having to put up with pains, or we're having to put up with problems or tribulations or all these, we're not really running free. What it means to endure, it means to be patient. Some translations actually have that in there. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It means to be patient, or to abide, or to hold up, or be steadfast. Your endurance is patience, abiding, steadfastness, or to hold up. Yes, it can mean to suffer. And let's not take it out of context when we talk about suffering. You know, if you do a word study on that word suffer, very often you'll find it means, that means, not doesn't mean to be in pain. That means to permit or allow. And if we suffer something, we are allowing something, or we're permitting something. Not suffering as in sort of torture or pain in that sense. You know, Bible patience is not about knuckling under and just accepting what comes, or being satisfied, or putting up with the things we face. Bible patience means to be steady, to stay consistent and constant. In other words, that we act and we conduct ourselves the same way at all times, doing what we know to do. Remember, one of the things I said was, the meaning of endurance was to abide. Abiding talks about something that's steadfast. We use the word abide means to live, you know, to stay in one place. We're not camping, we're not sojourning. You know, that's what the, we have that word, that's a New Testament word, that they sojourned, or a Bible word, they sojourned. Talking about they camped. We're not camping, we're abiding in Jesus. You know, we're a constant in him. You know, we're living and we're set. Now, I know it's, we could say we're not travelling, but we're settled. You know, we're abiding in Jesus. Yes, we're travelling to heaven, we're on the road, we're making our way, but we are established. You know, we're not running here, there and everywhere. You know, we know where we're going, we've got a Saviour, God's doing something for us. We're abiding in him, as Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Abiding in him. So that's it, being steady, being consistent, being constant, doing what we know where to do. That's endurance, that's patience. You know, one of the modern translations puts it like this, and let me read it to you. This is the Amplified, and it says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight, and that sin which so readily, deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And here it says, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Now, patience or endurance is a key element of faith. Now, this is the race of faith we're talking about. We're talking about the life of faith. And that's what the writer here is, likening faith to a race that's to be run. And endurance is a key element of faith. You know, the Bible says this, he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, it doesn't mean he who goes through as much suffering as possible, but he who stays steadfast, He who runs is a, you know, the one who endures, stays steadfast, wins the race. You know, you patient, you you're consistent in your running. No, you're not having spurts, you're not going a sprint and then slowing up. You know, marathon runners, you know, they look like they're going slow to start with. You know, they keep that pace. You think, well, they're never going to win at this, you know, if they keep going at this speed. But, you know, that they're consistent. They keep on. And then at the right time, they know when to switch into that little sprint, and they overtake everybody else, and, you know, they hopefully win the prize. You know, it's consistency. That's the right word. Consistency or constancy. You know, keeping constant. You know, this endurance is key in our faith. If we just want to turn, we won't so much look at this verse in Hebrews. Yeah, but if we turn back to chapter 3 of Hebrews, you'll see in verse 14 it says this, that it says, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. That's endurance, being steadfast to the end. You know, we've become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence. It's good to begin, but it's better to finish. Everybody can begin in a race, but only a few finish. You see this around every Easter time on the London Marathon. You see, a lot of people begin. Hundreds and thousands, millions begin, but not everybody finishes the race. You know, they get tired halfway, they drop out, perhaps they sustain an injury and they have to drop out of the race. But if we're going to begin, let's make sure we endure to the end. We stay steadfast to the end. There's a good word there is hold on. You know, hold on, keep going. If we just go over a couple of chapters to chapter 6, we get the same sort of thought here in chapter 6, starting at verse 11. He says, we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. You know, be diligent until the end. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There he's telling us to be diligent right to the end. He says, faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience you'll inherit the promise. You know, it's that word patient again. You know, be patient. Patience and faith, you know, they do go together. Actually, one person once described these two, faith and patience, as what he called the power twins. You know, they're two twins of power. You know, faith and patience. You know, and through faith and patience you inherit the promises. In verse 15, he's talking about Abraham, and it says that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, it's good to be patient. It's good to endure. Because when you've endured to the end, you will win. Or you'll be saved. Or you'll overcome. You know what the Bible says? He who endures shall overcome. He who endures shall be saved. If we're looking at the race, he who endures to the end will get the prize. But patience needs to be developed. Just like faith needs to be developed, so does patience. And Peter 1 verse 7 says this. It says, again, it's talking about faith. It says that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire. You know, faith will be tested. Faith will be tried. You know, faith is tried. And one of the biggest things that tries our faith, you might think, well, it's, there's a lot of tests of faith. You think, well, fear might be a test of our faith. Well, yeah, we've got to overcome fear. Worry, yes, we've got to overcome worry. And these are these things which come in on us. And you think, well, if we can overcome those, you know, that's trying our faith. Well, they're not really trying our faith. The one thing that tries our faith is time. Time is the biggest enemy of faith. How long can we stay the course? How long should we stay in faith? Well, we've read a couple of verses already. It's talked about to the end. You know, don't become sluggish. You know, let's go on to the end. Let's be diligent to go to the end. Hold on until the end. Ask any runner, when is he going to, well, how long is he going to run his race? He'll say, till the end. Till he crosses the winning line. Till he crosses the finish line. Time tries faith. And that's where patience comes in. You know, patience and faith are companions, as I said. It's not enough for us just to believe God. Very often we just say, that's it. We'll believe God. Trust God. It's easy for us to say that, but that's not enough. We've got to trust God until what? Until we get what we're trusting God for. You know, if you're believing God for something, I don't know, the salvation of a loved one, or a healing in your body, you can believe God and a real strong faith every day for 2 weeks, and then give up. Well, you're not going to get what you're believing God for if you give up after 2 weeks. You know, you've got to go on. You know, where salvation's concerned, it might be months, even years, of being steadfast, trusting God, you know, sowing seeds, witnessing. You've got to stay the course. And that's where patience comes in. That's where endurance comes in. We've got to stay until we get. Faith will not go beyond our patience. When our patience runs out, our faith will come to an end. Or we could put it like this. When our endurance runs out, we drop out of the race and it ends for us. Now, it might not end for others because their endurance might take them to the end. But if we give up and drop out, we're no longer in the race. How long? Well, as long as it takes. Endurance means that we don't quit. You know, it's a lovely verse, and I'm sorry to do this, but this is going to be perhaps a little bit... I don't like doing it like this, but this is a little bit out of context, I think. But you know, I always think of this verse when we're talking about giving up or quitting. There's Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and he's talking about, he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And then he lists that we've been clothed with armour. And he goes here in Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then it says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Then listen to it. It says, Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. There he's telling us, you know, we've got to be standing. And when we've done everything we can to stand, and having done all to stand, having done everything within our capabilities to stand, now he's talking about against the wiles of the devil, you know, put on the whole armour of God so you can withstand in the evil day. When we've done everything we can to stand, do you know what the next verse says? It says, stand. When you've done everything you think you can do to stand, it says stand. Keep standing. Because that's endurance. Now, it actually says stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. But I just like the way it reads, those two verses cross over there, verse 13 and 14, because it really shows about endurance and patience. Having done all to stand, the next word is stand. So when you think, well, how long have I got to go? I've been standing, I've been waiting for years, or maybe some years, for promises that God's promised. And, you know, I've been standing all this time, enduring. How long have I got? You keep on. You think, well, I've done all this. Well, keep standing. Because you will get what you're waiting for, what you're believing God for. Endurance means you don't quit. And even when you've been standing a long time, you keep standing. You know, Roger Bannister, that athlete, a great athlete, he says this, the man who can drive himself further once the effort gets painful is the man who will win. The man who can drive himself further once the effort gets painful is the man that can win. You know, if you get to the point where it's spiritually painful to, you've been standing, if you can just go stand that bit longer, you'll win. You know, that's the secret. You know, it says of Joseph in the Psalms, it says that he was waiting for God's word to come to pass. And it says in Psalm 105, it says that the word of the Lord tried him. The word of the Lord tested him. You know, until the time came for that word to come to pass, God's word tested him. If you know anything about Joseph's life, you'll know that God showed him some things when he was a young man. You know, he began to share that with his brothers and his family, and they wouldn't have it. And, you know, out of jealousy, they sold him into Egypt. And in Egypt, he's still thinking about this, what God's shown him. You know, and he's working for God, he's serving God, he's in the house of Potiphar. You know, everything he does, he's blessed. God's blessing him, God's prospering him. You know, Potiphar's being blessed because Joseph's there. Then Potiphar's wife makes an advance on him, and, you know, he runs out and he's thrown into prison because Potiphar believes his wife above Joseph. And then in prison, it says God's still blessing him. He's still going on for God. He's still serving God. You know, he's there a couple of years, and you know, things come, people go. The baker, the butler, you know, they're in there, they have dreams, and Joseph interprets those, and he's still remaining faithful. He says, don't forget me when you get out. And, you know, the butler forgets him, but yet Joseph remains faithful. You know, God's word is coming, it's trying him all the time. It's every opportunity for him to quit in his race. Think, oh, well, they've forgotten me, this is it, I've had enough. But one day, somebody came into the prison saying, is there somebody called Joseph down here? Because Pharaoh wanted to see him. That day, within a few hours, he was second in command of the whole nation of Egypt. You know, God's word will try you. You know, it says, until his word came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. The one common mistake a lot of us make is we think that trials and tribulations develop our faith. Faith comes by the Word of God. It doesn't come through the trials, it doesn't come through the tribulations, it doesn't come through all the problems and things. You think, well, you know, we've got a big problem that's going to really develop our faith. No, the problem has nothing to do with our faith. God's Word develops our faith. And God's Word will try us. You know, if we allow God's Word into our hearts, we hear what it's saying, we use it, then that develops our faith. What trials and tribulations develop is our patience. Because time develops our patience. You know, you might hear people say, well, I've tried. I tried to believe in God for a healing, or I tried doing this. No, we don't try to do anything like that. It tries us. God's Word tries us. You know, if we say we tried to believe God for healing and we stayed sick, well, it tried us and found us wanting. It tried us and we sort of messed up. Somebody said, well, you know, we preach about giving, you know, God will open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing if we give. Say, well, I tried giving and God didn't bless me. No. God's Word tried us and we didn't come through. You know what develops our faith is the Word of God. And what develops our patience is the trials and the tribulations. You know, the trying of our faith works patience, the scripture says. The trial of our faith works patience. We're going to have to wrap it up there because we're running out of time. But you know, we'll come back to this next week. We'll pick it up next week where we left off. The trial of our faith. You know, time will try our patience. And that's our biggest enemy, time. Because we've got to believe, we've got to stand and endure to the end. If we give up halfway through, we don't get what we want. If we give up believing for our loved ones, they won't get saved. If we give up believing God for our healing, we won't get healed. If we give up believing God for whatever else it is, it's like dropping out of the race. We won't get the prize. He who endures to the end will be saved. He who endures to the end will cross the winning line. What did he say? He says, this is a, Roger Gray says, the man who can drive himself further once the effort gets painful is the man that will win. Amen. Next week, we'll carry on with this endurance. Because there's a few other things we need to look at. But we run out of time tonight. Amen. Great.